Shut up and sit down. Hello and welcome to episode 98 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Please visit us today at www.patreon.com/grills. Now, this is a podcast where women host and we geek out about stuff. I'm 9 of 12, and I'm joined by my co-host, Linda.
Hello.
And the Jen could not be with us today, but we do have a special guest, a returning guest, Silver Kitsune.
Hello.
So, what have you been up to this geeky week? Linda?
Well, my husband and I, went to the LARP I talked about last week, ATE, After the End. If you want Western, a post-apoc, sci-fi, gonzo LARP, that's where you go. I think I described it as like Firefly the LARP. I had a great time, even though a fourth of the game was a torrential downpour. It may have been the galvanized roofs, but I have never heard rain that loud in my entire life. It's so loud. And we had this little, there was a dog that the owners of the site, since it's a private site, they have working animals. So we met the cats last time that we went there. This time they had a dog. It was their working dog, and she was super sweet, but she did not like the thunder and lightning and the rain, and she was continually trying to get inside, and the owners of the site don't want her inside because she's an outdoor dog. But she literally like managed to finagle a window open and jumped through it like during the weekend.
Oh, holy cow.
She was determined. She was very, very sweet. Let's see. I've gotten some more work done on my Sailor Saturn cosplay. I think I mentioned last time I am crocheting the entire outfit. So I have her bust bow and her butt bow done. And a fourth of the dress? Question mark. I'm almost done with the bodice part, and I need to add the skirt. And I'm also working on my shoes right now. I say her. My shoes. They're going to eventually become the boots. So that is what I've gotten done on that. And I streamed yesterday because we were going to do Geek Girls, but Jen was sick and we were going to wait a day, see if she felt better. So I just decided I've taken a couple weeks off because of the move. Obviously, if you're watching on Twitch, you can still see I've got boxes, but I've at least got a shelf up now. And I just was like, you know what? I just need to get started again. Otherwise, I'm going to keep putting it off. So I got the War Turtle started on my stream.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, so what have you been up to, Silver?
Right now, I'm prepping for a couple of festivals that are coming up. I am doing Burlesque in Asheville in August. There is...
Oh, I should go to that one.
Oh, man, there's so much stuff. So, a couple of smaller shows. I am in the middle of building my first ever couples cosplay with that guy, and it is going to be A7R. And I already did, like, the big stage one that I do for my burlesque act, but that's not a cosplay thing, because that's the 10-foot roll. It's not the 3-foot roll. It's covered in rhinestones and lots of zippers, and it's not a cosplay costume. So he asked, and I don't think he understands what it means when you ask the cosplayer to do a couple's cosplay. This is like more serious than getting engaged. He's like, can we do it? I'm like, oh, I don't think we're ready. But okay. We just started dating. I don't know. Yes, that's been pretty much it for this end.
I don't know this 10-foot rule and 3-foot rule. What?
Okay, so 10 foot's what you can see off stage, so you can ditch a little bit of the detail on garments.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and 3 foot's like if someone's going to come up to you at a convention and take your
picture, yeah.
Gotcha. You should have known that, but I was in theater like 30 years ago, so I guess we didn't use those. So let me see. This week we had in Pokemon Go, you know, I'm always talking about the Go, but there's events all the time now. And we had a Zapdos event where Zapdos, the Instinct Big Bird, was available in every single gym for a few hours. And everybody got 5 free raid passes. So we all ran around town in little groups like maniacs trying to catch the things. And I was using my account and my son's account and Rob's account because Rob could only tolerate a little and go home. Well, he had a gig that night, so he wanted to rest. And I caught shiny on his account, and 2 shinies on Fletcher's account, and none on my account.
They have something against you. Right there.
I'm like, really? Because I only caught 2 on Fletcher's, and they were both shiny, which is, like, so unlikely. I started to wonder if there was a statistical thing, but I haven't been able to find anything on it because that account is Instinct, and if they had a better chance at the shinies.
Maybe.
That would at least make sense instead of just I'm cursed. also in Go this week, a nice kind gentleman who flies traded me an unknown. So I have an unknown, which you kind of can't really get around here. And I got the M for McCready. And I gave him a shiny Charmander in return. Aww. He was happy with that. Also this week, in Go adjacent news, we lost a local law officer, and he's a really great guy, Bill Wood. I had met him at a Mewtwo raid not long ago. And his family plays, his daughters and sons and stuff. And I know Jerica, she had asked everyone to, today, the day of the funeral, let all the gyms be Valor in his honor. Mm-hmm. So we were, people were working on that. I was getting yelled at by Mystic people for telling people where our gyms were. Still not taken, because people were getting weird. And I was like, this is not a good time to be competitive. You can't give up your 50 fake coins for one day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. As a nice tribute so that these kids could open their phones at the funeral and see all the surrounding gyms are red. Like, it's going to hurt you. So I got mad. But I started a thing where Moltres is the big bird, legendary bird for Valor. And I named mine after him. And I posted a picture in the raid chat, and then everybody started doing that. And his daughter was very appreciative. She thanked me for showing up at the funeral earlier. But he was riding his motorcycle. He was off duty, but he was scouting the best, safest route, ironically, for a veteran's benefit ride that he does. When another off-duty officer pulled out in front of him, and he was killed instantly in this accident. So horribly tragic, and I just want to send condolences out to Corporal Wood's family, Jerica, Roxanne, Michelle, Nicole, William, Savannah, Ruth Martin, and their adopted sister, Rena Ravenfire. So also, and then in happier news, I got my Stream Deck. Yay, Amazon Prime Day. It's the only Prime Day thing I've ever purchased. And I used Jen's link, so Jen's gonna like get a kickback from that. But it was an irresistible price. It was already on my wish list. So happy early birthday. I couldn't pass up the deal. So I guess it's time for the Geek Grapevine.
Hey,
so Linda, is this you?
No, I think that may have been a Jen. I didn't manage to get anything up there, but I know about most of these, so we can at least talk about them.
Why don't you take the first one?
Okay, so let me get this open.
Put down the crochet, yeah. We're having a show.
Yes, yes, I'm putting the crochet down. James Gunn was dropped from the Guardians of the Galaxy films. Oh, God, it's why? I guess. Sorry. My computer started being really weird. He got dropped from the Guardians of the Galaxy, a third film, for some not very good tweets. And you know, that's probably for, I mean, they have to take a stand on it, I guess, and so they just decided to go ahead and remove him.
There's a hard lesson, folks. 10 years ago, he said some shit that he thought was funny and isn't, and now he's fired.
Yeah.
His brother made a thread about it, too, about how he changed, but they all understand that he screwed up, and he said that even his mom didn't even like the jokes. Just kind of harsh. Didn't like his jokes from back then. They're happy he's evolved, but they accept the fact that this is where the industry is, and he should be held accountable for the stuff he put on the internet. The internet's forever.
Yep.
Yep.
Don't put it on the internet. You could ever think that you're not going to think that.
Yeah. Like it or not. Of course, the next news item is mine because it's Pokemon Go again. It's okay. I keep sucking people in. It makes me happy. Some of these changes have taken place since I posted this. And as always, listeners, all the links will be in our notes. Lucky Pokemon, new berries, Celebi encounter, friend sorting, and more. Now, the only sorting I've seen is they're actually in alphabetical order now. So it's better, at least makes it better. I have more than 50, so it's still a little hard to find somebody on the go. The new berries haven't showed up yet, but lucky Pokemon apparently have, because I got an alert on the machine, or on the phone, and it was like, hey, when I logged in, you can now get lucky Pokemon. Now, this article didn't really know much about it, except it does turn out to be true that it does take less Stardust to power them up, but how you get them is interesting. How you get them is in trades. Like if you're trading with someone and they're a little lower level than you, the Pokemon loses some of its power, which, you know, that kind of stinks, but I mean, you got to sacrifice, right? And it costs a bunch of Stardust already, to do it. But apparently some of them will just become lucky. So at least there's a potential benefit now when trading as well.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what these new berries are going to be. Lots of speculation in this article. And the Shazam trailer. Who saw the Shazam trailer and wants to talk about it? It's our only Comic-Con thing here, I think.
Yeah, I've seen the Shazam trailer. It looks really fun. Which, if you are familiar with the Shazam comics, it is kind of following along with the kind of wacky hijinks. Because, I mean, the hero is a, 14-year-old in a superhero buff body, so he's just, it's just delightful looking. Because he's like, I don't know what my powers are, so we have to do a bunch of tests. And, like, I believe in this particular trailer, like, he saves somebody from, like, a convenience store from getting robbed, and he has, like, all he wants in return is like snacks. So he and his friend are eating snacks as they're leaving. He's like, sorry about your window, but you know, you didn't get robbed. So there's that. It looks pretty good to me.
I think it does too. And I was a fan. I used to watch a TV show when I was little. And it's going to be quite different, and that's fine. And I got a kick out of that whole, like, we got to try it out. And I don't know what's going on, because I was also a big fan of The Greatest American Hero.
I wasn't going to mention that. That sounds a lot like the same premise. A little bit.
Yeah, all those parts. But I've always loved that. Like, I've done that when I've run role-playing games where it's superheroes and they get your powers. You don't just magically know in your brain what you can do, right? And, like, you have a game or two where people are, like, stumbling across them, and it's a good plot line. I don't think it's, you know, going to take away from the movie at all. And when I first saw it, I was like, wait a minute. Oh my God, is that Chuck? I get a kick out of that actor.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So I guess we can dig straight in from there. This week, folks, here's your heads up. We are discussing ethical non-monogamy. So we are marked mature, in case you're going to freak out. But I mean, the point here ethical non-monogamy and different relationship styles that exist in the world and expose you to it. I know several people in these types of relationships. I've had my own relationships that are in the non-monogamous category, my own trials and tribulations of trying to open my own marriage, which has been kind of a nightmare, but I have permission to be open for my husband and exes, and the one we had to get the restraining order against, fuck her. So, I want to start with a few definitions that I threw in the notes. Excuse me. But as we go, if we start using buzzwords at all, I don't know what kind of research, you know, either you've done or reading. I know Silver has actual experience, but there are a lot of terms that may be unfamiliar, and I'll be try to be careful about us pausing and defining things as we speak. And polyamory is defined as the philosophy or state of being in love or romantically involved with more than one person at the same time. Now, polygamy is something probably more people have heard about or of, and unfortunately, usually in a negative light, I guess, but it is the practice or custom of having more than one wife or husband at the same time. So, like, actually marrying different people. And I found it really interesting when I looked that up that there's a botany definition. And it's the condition of bearing some male, some female, and sometimes some perfect flowers on the same plant. And I thought, gosh, that's really beautiful. Can we, like, go ahead and use that for, like, some of these other forms of relationships? Now, swinging and swapping are things that also people probably heard more of because they've had more publicity in the last, I don't know, 50 years or so, which is entirely different. In my knowledge and experience and research, folks who are polyamorous tend to be more sex positive. There's a lot of crossover with the swinging community, but they are, in observation, can be very, very different from each other. So anybody want to jump in? Silver, do you want to talk? Let people know your relationship dynamic, because I don't even know. I mean, I know you have your two hashtags, but as you call them, but I don't even know if it's a V or a triad, and if maybe you could explain what those are to people.
Sure, and I actually I have like a joke chart that I give to my friends sometimes when they get like mixed up. So I have a long-term partner that I live with, which in the community is referred to as a nesting partner, and that's hashtag boyfriend E, who, if you do a lot of like the Southeast cons, like Dragon Con or Frolic Con or Hulana or any of those, you probably have seen him. He's really tall with long blonde hair. He just goes by his name. He doesn't have a badge name. They've never given him one. And we've been together for 5 years. So he was married when we first started dating, but that marriage ended separately of any of our stuff, which is something that a lot of people have trouble with in polyamory, is understanding that the relationships are all separate. I mean, you see each other and you're dating somebody's husband or somebody's wife or somebody's boyfriend or girlfriend or however you want to define it, but those relationships are separate. So his marriage ended during the time that we were dating, and he discovered during that course that he was very happy to just be monogamous with me. So he is monogamous with me. I am polyamorous. It's getting complicated already. I am polyamorous, which means I have had other partners, serious long-term partners, since he and I have been dating. And I ended a relationship last year with a long-term boyfriend, and started dating another one. I think me and the other boyfriend were together for 3.5 years. And me and that guy, because he didn't want a boyfriend, hashtag, whatever. that guy, hashtag, we started dating last September. So, and the nerdy thing is that I met both of these guys at conventions. And instead of, like, celebrating an actual date, because I'm terrible with dates and I don't want to admit it, we just celebrate our anniversary on the convention we met.
There you go.
Yeah, so me and that guy are coming up on our 1 year anniversary of DragonCon. And and he's long distance, so I don't live with that guy. So my nesting partners who I live with, that guy's the other boyfriend who lives in another state. And we don't get to see each other nearly often enough, but so that's right now. And I have Friends with Benefits, which is a different kind of relationship paradigm, and so does that guy. That guy is also polyamorous. We have one monogamous guy who's just dating me, and he's straight. And we have me, who is queer and everything, and poly. And that guy, who is pansexual and poly. So, two crazies and one old stodgy techie guy who's like, whatever, honey, I'm busy. That's pretty much the relationship. Yeah, so that's been an interesting ride. Because I had a lot of trouble in the beginning of our relationship with the fact that he was monogamous, because I didn't think he was quote unquote fair. And he finally was like, look, what you think is fair is not being fair to me. I don't want to date other people. I don't like the pressure to do so. I just want to date you. And that's what I want. And I was like, well, okay. So I've since gotten over that, mostly.
Yeah.
You have the feels for anyone, please let me know. He's like, I've never had the feels for anyone but you since we started dating. He just, not again. Let me go back to my woodworking. Honey, go away.
So. Yeah, I understand that whole fairness thing. I mean, there's a lot of, if you're going to engage in ethical non-monogamy, it's all about communication and just honesty and trusting each other. I mean, jealousy happens, and then you have to figure out, okay, where is it coming from? Is it honestly something, you know, they're doing, or is it an issue I have myself? And communicating those things and growing, you know, your relationship while you're exploring others really, really has to be up front. If you ever become interested in this kind of thing, my husband and I have had serious stumbling blocks, and it's interesting because before I met him, I mean, many years ago, I had been part of, we didn't use the term back then, it was that long ago. I mean, in the 80s, 90s, you know, like polyamory wasn't as buzzwordy as it is today. But I had been in relationships with other couples, they had ended badly, I had an open relationship that also, you know, like the communication wasn't there, it was open. It's like, okay, we can do this stuff, but, you know, I would expect to be told. And that one was kind of a little nightmarish because we were kind of a part of a whole tribe of people. And there was a lot of, you know, sharing going on and loving, very loving, supportive relationships. But everyone assumed I knew my boyfriend was sleeping with this guy, and I didn't because he didn't tell me. And it had been ongoing, but he just wasn't clear and communicative about the nature of that relationship. There are as many ways to do polyamory as there are people having relationships. But this was somebody who was HIV positive, and I think, and I just could not, no, I really kind of needed to know. That's a consent issue at that point, even though it's an action with someone else. So, yeah, that was pretty damaging. I was dumped by a girlfriend and she didn't find out for whole crap, I don't know, 10 years that the whole long letter she wrote me breaking up with me was actually coerced by her boyfriend, who Yikes. Had been really okay with all this, you know, she's my girlfriend and your girlfriend, but we're not boyfriend, girlfriend. And it was all like, it was so wonderful. But he got jealous and freaked out and gave an ultimatum. But that woman is now, she's my girlfriend. She is always going to be my girlfriend. I only actually got to stay in the same place with her once in the last, like, 20, 30 years. But we're close. We love each other. We're always going to. And when Rob and I got married, with those kind of stories and others, it was like, you know what, I am ready for monogamy. I can totally do that. And he couldn't conceive of anything but monogamy. He grew up in a stable, together household, kind of a serial monogamist. Of course he wanted monogamy. He wanted till death do us part. And I'm like, well, wait, that's just crazy. No one should do that. You should, like, until we're sick of each other or, you know. And he's like, I want till death do us part. I said, okay, well, then if you want to leave, I get to kill you. He said, okay, sorry, we'll do that then. So we got married, and we have a great relationship. We are wildly compatible, complementary skill sets. We've had the bartenders say, hey, man, we're so glad when you come in, because you're like the only couple that's full of all kinds of fucking bullshit and drama, even when you come in separate. But I came home from a trip. I went away for women's campaign school at Yale, and I came home to, I don't love you anymore, I want a divorce. Out of the blue. And we talked through my hysteria for a while. He had developed feels for someone. And this is like another thing people may not, I mean, I guess it's thrown casually enough around the internet, right? Like, I don't know if it's used as much outside of the non-monogamous community, but like, oh, I got the feels. Like, people use it about something they read, but it's related to, like, and it can happen to anyone. It's when you get a crush, you start to develop feelings for someone. Another term I think I'd like to start or to define here is NRE, called new relationship energy, that is used in these discussions often.
And like, you refer to it as a hell of a drug in my poly.
Yeah.
As it is.
And everybody's familiar with that. Like, your first crush and that, like, oh, I love you, right? And then, like, a couple, you know, however, there's this idea, apparently, that 3 months is the expiration date on NRE, but I don't believe that. I know a year and a half, I can still be pretty freaking head over heels before, you know, just anything starts to get mundane in a relationship. But I'm a big sap. But anyway.
Especially if you're long distance and you only see each other once in a while, those 3 months could take 2 years to get through.
Right. And yeah. I think there's a new aspect to it with online relationships, because you can get there really fast when you're just talking all the time. You know, you can communicate a lot in chat compared to even in real life. Like, you go to work and you come home and then you have 14 other things to do. You can kind of just be on the phone or whatever. But anyway, I came home to that, and that was devastating and horrifying. And it was someone I knew, someone who we actually would go and joke and crush and, you know, crush on a little together, because I've always been bi, so he knows that, and it was always cute, you know, like, you know, kind of like, ooh, Hammy, look at her, ooh, hey, let's take her home, and then we never did, but then we had counseling. I was like, give me, at that point we had like 9 years of marriage and our kids, and I was like, can we at least see a counselor? Like, let's try to work on something here. And we did, and he acknowledged he had depression in that time as well. And in the process of all the communicating we finally started doing, that was long overdue, honestly, I gave him an article on polyamory, because I started to realize in the language he was using that he wasn't conceiving of. In his mind, he was like, but I love her, so I have feelings for her, so I must not love you anymore. And I'm like, okay, that's not how this works. and I know that. And we agreed to, you know, do this monogamy thing, but don't leave me and don't burn down the house over it. Like, and this article just, like, a ton of bricks hit him. And things started to get better. And we started recognizing other issues in the relationship, like mundanity, because we had been trapped in the house with children for so long and never doing anything different, and started doing things like going to burlesque and having grown-up time. Because, you know, we didn't just jump into polyamory to try and fix a relationship, because that's always a bad idea. Don't do that.
Yep. I see that problem constantly. Yeah. It's like when people decide to have a kid because the relationship isn't working. You can't screw with somebody else's life just because you refuse to check out your own stuff.
Exactly. And it's like terrible. So we didn't do that, thankfully, you know, because I knew better. But just understanding the idea helped him open up in a lot of other ways. And more recently, his self-exploration has led to, I think, I'm Polly. And I'm like, okay. And he sees it, and this is another interesting point I wanted to bring up today. Some people see it as like a, actually how they identify. Like some people, it's, this is what I do, it's not who I am. And some people are like, no, this is who I am, not just what I do. And those are two perfectly valid ways of looking at it, and that it is practiced. He immediately saw it as an identity, and I'm like, you have had no experience to try and figure that out. Like, you're still trying to figure out a lot of things about yourself. So, you know, and we got a bunch of books, and we had agreements to, like, read, discuss, try to stay on the same page while we work on our own relationship. Because for me, I was like, you know, we need to be stable. We need to have things like our sex life back on track and stable, so that I don't have abandonment issues. You know, we need to be communicating properly instead of you just turning into a robot when you can't deal. Let's do this. And we set out this plan, and he kind of pulled a Buckland's Big Blue Badge book. Like, if anybody knows about witchcraft, people read that book and then they think, I'm an expert now, right? So he kind of like fell off of the reading the same book. Oh, he's going to go read this other book now. And then we weren't discussing it. And then he wanted to call up and date the person he had to cut off because he was going to leave me for her. Okay. I was like, okay, maybe not the best, no, place to start, but I'm not going to just say no. Because that's not, I think, a good, healthy thing to do in any relationship either. But there are things that were left over from then that needed to be resolved if we were going to move forward. So I let that happen, and all I asked is that she would sit and have a conversation with me, and she refused. Again and again and again. I wasn't responsible for that. I had nothing to do with it. Okay, can we, like, have coffee? Why is she texting me? And he kept going out with her. And kept breaking tiny little, like, okay, you're not going to drink the first time you meet up. Oh, we just went and had one. You know, oh, we're going to, you know, meet in public. Well, I picked her up at her house, though. Like, she had moved in the years between. I didn't. And I find this stuff out later. And then he goes mountain climbing with her, which I could never in a million years drag him to. You know, just little things that matter. Boundaries in any relationship, I mean, should be a thing. If you know what you want in a relationship, you know what you need, you should always be communicating with each other. And if you're adding a person, of course, you don't want to impose on other people and their freedom. But you have to respect everyone in the relationship. And that wasn't working real well. And then the other one he tried to date, boundaries got really, really tossed out the window in a physical way, as well as her harassing and harassing and harassing. And we couldn't even have time alone together. It's like, hey, we're having a date night. And she would text the whole time. She'd be texting him in his pocket while she knew he was on stage. And I'm, like, being the girlfriend who's, like, letting her know on Facebook, like, hey, I'm going to live stream him now so you can watch. Like, and she's, why aren't you texting me back, in his pocket? Like, she was, you know, kind of nuts. And then they had a date where things went way further than they were supposed to, especially for a second date. And then he was like, she's way more into me, and he was trying to back out of the relationship, and she lost her shit. She said vile, disgusting, threatening things to me in text messages, so I blocked her. So then she started tweeting at Geek Grills. She went on to our Patreon and signed up to be a patron to further harass. I eventually ended up having to call the police. She was, like, looking to borrow someone's car. And I mean, we have kids that live here, so we ended up getting a restraining order. And this was someone that we had known for a few years, and we know the rest of her poly family. were close friends of ours. We've lost them. So always be careful, always communicate, and be careful of NRE when it's blinding you to really obvious signs of instability.
So everybody I know thinks that poly is like swingers club and sex all the time, especially if you're on the outside. Now I get a little community blind because I'm friends with a lot of poly people, but it's about, I would say, when I make the joke, because there's always jokes, it's about, I would say, 90% discussion. And you talk everything to death, and then you resurrect it, like the necromancer you play, and then you talk it to death again. And then about 9% of that is deciding what restaurant to eat at, and only 1% of that is sex. if you can get around that 1%. Yeah. And it's, for me, it is, I have a little bit of a difference. It's, each poly is structured differently. My poly is structured, both of the boyfriends are primaries. So I don't do primary, secondary, tertiary, which some people do. And that's fine. That's their particular paradigm for their poly.
And yeah, I'm attracted to that for the organizational aspect, but I also don't like the idea of one above another. So, I agree there. I like the constellation terminology that some people use.
Constellation is good too. And then you have people like a comet, like say one of your, I don't know if I can swear on this, friends with benefits.
Yes, you can.
Fuck Buddies is a penguin researcher in Antarctica, because me and that guy actually did have a big relationship talk, because as is my curse, I started dating a really nice guy who appeared to be in a lovely marriage, and now he is not married. And I had nothing to do with either one of these things. I just happened, apparently that is my curse, is to walk in the middle. You know that gif of Daniel, I think it's Daniel Glover, walking into the room with the pizza boxes and everything's on fire?
Yeah.
That's me, except I don't realize things are on fire until it's been a little while, and I'm like,
I get it. I've got my own curse, because, like, I don't know, I just open people's doors or something, so, like, it became a running gag among my gay friends. Like, if you fall for a straight guy, just introduce them in September.
I am so happy, by the way. I am in the middle of NRE with that guy. It's been almost a year, but he is so insanely compatible with my life, and him and Evan get along great, and I thought my last boyfriend, and I'm not going to dish dirt, I'm sure he's a very decent guy, it ended, I was the center point at the time. We had a girlfriend in the poly, I had a very serious fuck buddy, who was my best friend, and it got to be such an emotional toil on me, because I am actually very good at managing multiple relationships, some people aren't. I happen to be, I have a degree in political science. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But I was getting very emotionally overworked. I'm sure you remember this September year on my Facebook. I had a big breakdown last year and just took an entire week off of social media because I was at the end. I was done. And I asked him to help, and he dumped me instead of helping me with the emotional burden of dealing with four other people and myself. So, because he was, I don't know, that relationship began oddly, and it proceeded fine, and I thought we were fine. And apparently that entire time, there was a lot of resentment about him not getting attention, and we speculate, because you know everybody has the post-relationship discourse with all of their friends, we all do it, the post-game, I guess. there was a lot of speculation that he expected me to leave E for him, which, no, I mean, you've met E, he's lovely. And I don't think anybody else on this planet would put up with most of my shit if he does. So I'm kind of locked in with that one. And a part of poly is also understanding how much of an emotional burden you can carry. And that, I think, determines more than scheduling how many partners you can have. And I think that's where a lot of drama and failure in poly comes from. And I have been gifted with the moniker of the most boring poly, the three of us. And that was previous boyfriend and current boyfriend, and I will hold that damn title until I die, because that is such a gold star in the poly community. Because it's, I mean, once you get people together, and we were discussing this before because I work in burlesque, once clothes come off, the drama goes up. So I will hold on to most boring. I like most boring is good. But so both of the boyfriends are primaries for me. Because, and I've discovered since the disaster that was the end of my last boyfriend and the girl
friend who burned all our lives down. And stepping back from my best friend and I are no longer at any level of insane fuck buddy-ness, which is good. It's been, our friendship survived, thank God our friendship survived, because me and my best friend were also dating the same girl, that girl with the crazy. And thank God our friendship survived, so we held on to that, but the relationship aspect, no, because it was too much. So I've discovered my hard limit is 2 full-time boyfriends. And,
you're not ditching women because of the crazy, are you?
You know what? I'm not allowed to date girls right now because of that girlfriend, actually.
Wow.
I have such bad taste in girls. I don't know what is wrong with me. I have this, like, white knight, like, savior rescue complex, and I am such a dude with girls, and I'm all very chivalrous, which doesn't mean what people think.
Yeah.
And it's something that gets taken advantage of a lot, and it's something I've had an issue with close female friends, too, because I guess I just give off such a masculine energy with them. So, Evan, sorry, hashtag boyfriend, he didn't put his foot down, because we don't have ultimatums. We have conversations and decisions together, as is a healthy relationship. He said, what do you need to do to fix this? And here's what I think you should do to fix this. And I think you need to take a break from girls, because the last 3 in a row, apparently, were only dating me to screw my boyfriends, which is weird, because that should have just been a conversation. But it was one of these. And a thing with Polly, too. And a thing with the last boyfriend actually ended up cheating on me, which in Polly, it's not impossible to cheat on somebody. You just break different rules than you do in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. When I told some local friends that we were going to be discussing this topic, one of them was like, it's not cheating. Like, talk about that it's not cheating, because, like, that's not the same thing. And then her friend, you know, my other friend was like, well, I mean, it is if you break the rules. It's like, well, yeah, but cheating. That's just like any other relationship. Like,
And that's the thing, too. Polly isn't this weird, like, happy-go-lucky, every free and all the rules are different. It's the same as most every other relationship. There just happens to be more, like, you're not.
But we're cheating, okay with the, like, hey, I really kind of like this other person. Can we go on a date? And it's like, yeah, that's okay. Instead of doing it and then saying, hey, I cheated on you. Like,
that's the same thing in monogamy. Like, you could have a threesome in your monogamous relationship, but it's not cheating because you've agreed to it, you've done it together, and you talk. Which is a lot of things. I teach in the BDSM community, and I do talk about polyamory versus monogamy and how one, they're not better. There's no better in a relationship.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
there it's not a hierarchy. Monogamy is not better than polyamory. Polyamory is not better than monogamy. It's just different and based on.
Thank you so much.
Because that specific sexual orientation is correct.
That's
just what you are. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that, in a lot of the reading and the research I've done, I get really irritated with a lot of people in the poly community about, because
this is the way nature is supposed to be. This is how humans are supposed to be.
Right, like it's more evolved, all right, and more superior, and just, you're being petty, and the pushing off of, oh, jealousy is just bad, and it's, like, all your own shit. Like, no, sometimes it's legitimately, you're triggering it by something you legitimately knew you shouldn't have been doing, but I have to own that. And then I was reading one of these books the other day, and, I mean, it's a great book, and they outright say, like, oh, monogamy isn't, polyamory isn't superior, more evolved, or anything like that. It's just not for everybody. But then 2 paragraphs later, they're saying it's completely unrealistic to think that one person can fulfill all your needs.
And I think people...
Look what you just did there.
Well, I think people confuse that with that person has to be relationship needs. Like, if your needs aren't being fulfilled in a monogamous relationship, it doesn't mean you need to go out and fuck somebody and date somebody. It may just mean that you need to have a different hobby and join, I don't know, a book club. Because if your needs aren't being met socially, it may have nothing to do with sex. That could just be our culture, especially the United States culture, is very obsessed with the fact that admiration equals attraction, which is not the case. You can like somebody and like find them fascinating and wonderful and great and never sleep with them, which is something that is, especially in American society where everything is tied to sex. Well, that's most Western civilization stuff.
It's so unhealthy, though.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's something that I've had to overcome, too. Like, I have had issues where I'm like, ooh, I really like this person. I actually had the opposite issue, because I usually typically sleep with people I'm friends with, because I am a very introverted person. I don't leave the house very often. I mean, I used to live in the same city as September, and I think you only ever saw me at shows, and that's it. I don't socialize. So if I make a strong friendship connection with somebody, especially if they're my age or they're available, or they're interested in something like that, that is sometimes on the table. And I have a friend that I came really close to here that's in my, if it's an East Kung Fu circle, I'm like, I really like this guy. I don't want to sleep with him, but I really want to hang out with him. And he's like, you know, that's how most people operate, right? And I was like, oh. I guess I have to be like, but there's movies that say that if you're friends with a guy,
yeah,
that's not how it works. Yeah. And so we're actually working through my issues have, and then you have to be very honest too. Like when he said that fair isn't fair, very honest. So with that guy, we have been discussing our relationship since it's now different. Like when he was married, our relationship was one thing because his wife was his primary and I was his girlfriend. Well, now that he's no longer married, I'm his primary. And I told him that when it began to be apparent that this was going to go downhill, that I have to be primary because it's how I function. If he wants to be in a relationship with me, this is what I require because I'm giving you my full time. And another one of E's requirements was after this last big relationship thing with my last boyfriend and the girlfriend of crazy, was that I need to have casual things because I always go all in. And sometimes I end up committed to relationships that I shouldn't be in at that seriousness. Mm-hmm. But I did actually find I have like a really, a friend that's like an occasional fuck buddy. So I fulfilled that requirement and I'm not dating girls again. I think Dragon Con was my time when I had a year off from girls. And I have discovered in that year off that that guy and I have to be the primary in their constellation. Or at least one of the primaries. Like if they had, in that guy's case, a wife and me, we were both primary people, although obviously she's the president, especially legally speaking. And now it's like, he's like, I literally don't have time for anybody else in a serious relationship, but I would like to have, say, X number of fuck buddies to fulfill my needs when we're apart. And because I want people I can hang out with, that I'm comfortable enough with, that I can sleep with them and expect them not to ruin my life. And I was like, all right, that's something we need to talk about, because as long as I am getting adequate attention and I know that I am the girlfriend, everything else is negotiable. But because I've been in so many relationships in the past, especially the last long-term boyfriend, where fidelity was an issue and communication, and I talk all the time. Like, I'm a constant texter. My phone is always on my body because my job is so closely tied with social media that I'm immediately text factor. Backer. I don't know if that's not a word, but I'll text you back. Like I have no chill about it unless I'm like super busy and I've got my hands on something. I will text you back. So communication was never an issue for me. Like you can get a hold of me, especially if you're dating me. If I will cut everybody else out, you have a direct line. So the communication aspect with me and that guy is so new to me that I'm not really trustful of it even after a year because we're in a now relationship has shifted. So we're exploring these brave new things together. And even me, who has been most boring poly, there's still issues to work through. But the most important thing is to talk about them, because if you don't talk about them, how are you going to get anywhere? No one intuitively knows this. So it's important. And it's important for me to know every single thing that's going on, because otherwise my crazy brain is going to go, oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. And
20 times worse. Yes, 20 times worse in your head than it could ever be in reality. Oh, yeah. They're going to leave me because they run off with a stripper from Vegas. Oh. Never mind.
Yeah.
Another stripper from Vegas.
And when you have experiences where people, yeah, it's just, I've always been very communicative, very open, very, I over-communicate. I will also immediately text back. I demand very little of my, you know, for myself. And then, you know, I'm imagining the worst and it happens, has happened a few times. So, shit. It's part of the struggle Rob and I are having. Like, all right, we need to step back and work on our own shit and your communication level, or we can't keep doing this.
Yeah, if you don't have a solid base, then there's no way you're going to survive.
Yeah. And just the solid base being like the mundanity and the stuff that maybe drove you to, you know, explore to begin with, like, no, this is, we can't solve one with the other. So you got to work on yourself. And I think we're being very healthy about that. Try it anyway. It's really hard. Comet, I love that term. When I first read about it a couple years ago, I was like, oh, that's my girlfriend, like Tony, because that's what that's like. On the occasions we can see each other, it's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And, oh, no, I think I just pushed the button. The doctors are thinking I'm having a heart attack. I'll explain that to him later. So I love that term. Compersion is something I think worth mentioning compersion, and discussing. Because
compersion is one of those things that has become, it's like the jealousy. Compersion to me has become one of those buzzwords. You don't have it, you're wrong. Which is right. Not true. It is the ideal state. The ideal state is that you are happy enough for a relationship, and is another thing that I have a problem with. Polyamory. If you are in a good enough place with your relationship, compersion is possible. It is not a constant. It is not the end all be all of what you should feel. And if you don't feel it, you're not wrong.
It Do is you want to define state. It for our listeners?
Oh, sorry. Compersion is seeing someone with someone else and happy is the most simplistic way I can put that. Being happy for the other person because they are finding happiness in another person.
Yeah.
So like,
it's like, oh, I'm so happy for you. That's awesome. You know, that can happen.
In monogamous terms, that is seeing your ex with a new person and being happy. Mm-hmm. Except you're not exes. You're with yourself. So, yeah, so I like to translate to monogamy back from monogamy. It's easier for someone to figure out what that is if they can apply to their own life. So that's the closest analogy I've been able to find.
Yeah.
Seeing your ex with someone else and being happy.
And like you said, there's so many configurations. I mean, I'm looking at...
And they're all individual. The person calendar, by the way, as an aside, is the godsend for polyamory. It is the best thing on the freaking planet.
Yeah.
The poly, yep. Google calendar.
Yeah.
I'm not sponsored. That's not
fun. Share your calendars, color code them so you don't like just stomp all over each other, right? And cause, you know, time. Bad feelings that should have never even happened because you knew they had something that day.
Yeah. That's important too. Like when we were talking today, because this is so fresh in my mind, because we literally, you picked me up for this at exactly the right time, because I just had this really serious in-depth conversation with that guy. And we actually had to bring Ian. And he sat down and mediated between us because on top of all the polyamory nonsense, I am genderqueer, which means that my responses to things are not appropriate for women and they're not appropriate for men. And both he and that guy, even though that guy is pansexual, are cisgendered males. Men, excuse me. I don't think we're supposed to use male and female. Men. So they are used to dealing with women, very specific, socially conditioned responses. I don't respond the right way. So on top of all this crazy poly crap, we also have to deal with the gender issue. So E comes in and he mediates between the both of us when we're speaking, which is so helpful, by the way, if you can get your partner to help talk to somebody else, because E's got all the cheat codes for me. Put this in gamer terms. He knows what to go where. He knows where all the hidden secrets are. He knows what spaces to smash. He has collected all the roots. So it's really helpful for him to talk between me and that guy. So the more communicative you are and the better your primary relationship is, it's not just theory. It is demonstrably to have other relationships, especially if you can come home and bitch to your primary about your other person. And they're not like, well, I told you so. You're like, well, you knew all this before. That's why you're okay with me getting them. Let's talk about the problem. Mm-hmm. And I typically have, because I'm on top of being the burlesque person and this crazy BDSM stuff, and which, by the way, polyamory and BDSM do not go same thing. They are two different things. Although there is a lot of overlap, like there is everything else. That is something I...
Well, there's a lot of overlap with geeks and BDSM too, so...
Well, yeah. So that's another thing I run into, though. Lies. If people are like, oh, well, that kinky, I'm like,
yeah. I listened to a new podcast I just discovered the other day in my research today, called Multi-Amory, and episode 97 is Agile Scrum Your Relationships, and it was so good, and it was based on an article that I intend to look up that's about relationships in general, that somebody who's like a software developer person said, hey, you know, this is an idea, and applying the Agile Scrum methods for workflow and communication on a team to relationships. And then this cast brought that into, and they started using it in their poly relationships and for their podcast. And it was a really good episode. And it's something I think Rob and I are going to start to do. Like I said,
oh, yeah,
he's not a great, works. He's not a great communicator, but if we're like setting a
market, yeah, in an office or something.
Yeah. Setting an appointment,
either.
Setting an appointment, yeah. Having a structured session of talking through some stuff, actionable things for the, you know, before the next meeting. And that I think will help him get on track with all the self-realization and learning to communicate that he needs to do. So I think we're going to start doing that, and I recommend that highly. I want to mention a few other things. Poly Weekly is another podcast I listen to. It's a lot of good stuff on their website with lists of books and classes and stuff. And I love, like, their tagline is, "It's not all about the sex."
Rarely about the sex, actually. Depressingly so. If I were having as much sex as people think I'm having, I would not have time for your podcast or work or anything. It's not. It's so not. And also, those conversations prevent, like you said, an issue, like you were talking about with someone being positive. Yeah, that's a very serious issue, because you're not sleeping with, you're sleeping with everyone they're sleeping.
Yeah.
And in my poly, we actually have a poly agreement. We went full on office nerd with this because all three of us are. We got two techies and an office person, like a writer involved in this. So we have an actual document that lists what things are okay and what things aren't okay and what we need to talk about. We actually need to redo that now that that guy is unwed. So we actually redo the document. So I don't think I'd remember that. And I probably went over board with the legalese, but one of the very most serious points, I think it's point three, like there's an article three, is that if you decide to sleep with anyone, they must present current papers, and those papers must be transmitted throughout the poly so that everyone can check.
Yep.
And we
thank you. Thank you for the validation. I made him go. I went.
Absolutely.
We decided to go to a swingers event to see if maybe at least observing, maybe something could happen, maybe we could scratch that itch, and it's maybe he's not actually polyamorous, but without all the drama and romantic entanglements, maybe we can at least feel out our level of squick. Squick is the term a lot of people use for, like, you know, oh my god, like, it's like the opposite of compersion, right? And it's like, maybe we'll see if maybe that is something, I mean, that's something actual we can do and agree to, like, okay, here's our boundaries, and let's, and then see if things happen, if who freaks out and who doesn't, and then discuss it and move on without emotionally involving and damaging other people who are, you know, there for the same stuff. And I carried our papers with me at all times. That was just, that's a hard limit for me.
It's a hard limit for me too. I mean, especially in this day and age where you can get your papers digitally sent to you, testing, like, there's no updated papers.
Well, and I'm freaked out by HPV because there is not,
because guys are carriers and they don't know.
And there's no test for men.
Nope.
And it can be passed pretty much anywhere. Condoms don't help.
Yep.
So I'm like.
Yep.
We need a certain amount of history. Like, I need her last pap. I didn't know who she's been tonguing since then. Like,
And actually, they were talking about HPV-1, because there's HPV-1 and HPV-1, which can be transferred to the genitals. So, as a background, both that guy and I do have rescue certifications and experience. He is currently working rescue as EMT certification. He's segueing into that part of the private sector. I did rescue work when I was a wilderness first responder. I got my Wolfer training. I never got the certification because it's super expensive and I was in college, but I was a park ranger for a while. I did all the rescue work. I get exposed to bloodborne stuff all the time. That guy does it with his job, but boyfriend E actually gets tested fairly frequently because he is a very serious and frequent practitioner of martial arts, so he sticks around bloodborne pathogens all the time. He didn't have to have sex to give somebody something, and they've talked about the rise in the lesbian community, especially of HPV-1, because people aren't using dental dams because, oh, they're lesbians, you can't get pregnant, so I guess we can just skip that, right? No, no. Anytime you exchange a fluid, you are at risk. That guy had an exposure the last convention we worked together because a patient went down and they responded to a 911 call. 911 number, the radio's not 911 headset yet. And she got blood on him before he got his gloves on and he had a cut on his hand. It could be anything. So papers aren't just, oh, admission of you fucked around on me or you're going to fuck around me. It's in, just in life to have your most recent STI test. It's the fastest way to test for anything. You don't have to have a sexually transmitted infection for it to show up on an STI test. You could have HIV from your kickboxing partner. It's just really important. And you would know when you started screwing around if you had it or not. So papers are a hard limit for our group, period. You don't have papers, you don't fuck. Done. You don't have papers, you don't screw around BDSM either. Long-term papers, you don't. I get my papers done before FrolicCon every year and I get back. It is incredible. I cannot stress how insanely important it is to have paperwork done. That is, that's my mini rant. That's the thing. Conversion isn't the goal, and get your fucking papers.
Whoa, something went crazy with the Discord cameras.
Okay. Oh, someone's back.
Linda.
Oh, I looked up. Oh, I'm the only person.
Yeah, where did Linda go?
Here I am.
There you are.
I don't know what just, so you were talking, and all of a sudden, like, you were on a word, and my computer, like, started doing a brrr sound on that word, and it was like, something's happened. And it was like, we're going to just shut you down. I was like, what?
Oh.
What is going on?
No.
Your computer got a virus because it didn't get its papers.
I guess. Thanks, Avast. I'm good.
It also proves how serious you're going to be when you get in a relationship. So if someone thinks that something is intelligent and is overly hammered in, any social media that's worth, I mean, any media that's worth a damn, they're going to balk at getting tested. You don't need to be in a relationship with that person.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's indicative of how they're going to treat every issue in your relationship. Got it. Bye. And both boyfriends do have power of veto. We all have power of veto.
Really?
It's not one of those. Yep. Everybody has power of veto. Actually,
see, I hear just so much, no, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, and I'm like,
no, why would it be wrong? All three of us work in security. If we have a if we have a gut feeling, we are, I've been working in security for
Thank
for
you.
A decade. So if I have a gut feeling, my gut feeling is based in years and years of experience. So we do have to have valid reasons for our vetoes, and that valid reason could be, I don't like that person. And it could be, well, all right, let's discuss it, because I do. I don't like them enough to argue with you about it. But some of the things, like, you don't overuse it, you don't hammer it home. I don't think in the entire history I've been trying to preserve his identity. Everybody knows who he is. I think in the entire 5 whole years, I don't think I've ever used it. But it's there, because we trust each other enough to bring it up if we're bothered.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've been feeling guilty about wanting it, but I feel like my instincts are good. They've proven to be good. I've been willing to discuss any issues I've had where I've been made uncomfortable and why, and had it ignored, but I didn't have that veto, and that ended up damaging our relationship.
Yeah,
to not be trusted with that, right? To me, that is a trust issue, and I don't think I articulated it that well.
And I find that, I find in the public I've spoken to, that if that is something they are allowed to have, they're allowed to say, I do not like this person. As long as they don't overuse and abuse, you can't say that about every single person unless your partner has trash taste, which I do about women. And eventually it got to the point where he was like, I think, and I went with you, I don't think that's a good idea either. We agreed on this mandatory off. So it's all about, if you trust them to pick out your pasta sauce, you should probably trust them to pick out who's not on. That's just part of a relationship. Like, you're together. If you can't turn to your partner and say, I don't like her, then you probably can't date other people. Like, don't abuse it. Don't, like, I'm not saying, oh God, please don't quote me as being the only person who says vetoes are important. You should always look to veto. There are reasons for vetoes to. And if that reason has been hit, it's probably something you need to discuss anyway.
Lots of communication. It's key.
That's mm-hmm. really all. It's just talking. Just talking about everything. You can't talk to someone. You can't.
Now, there are legal issues that...
You can't keep talking. Yeah, legal issues, especially with battles. And, like, right now, it's... I may have to take time off from me and that guy's relationship while the end of his last relationship settles. And I'm not happy about it, but legally speaking, that is probably the best if it ends up happening.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking into that, and I mean, there are adultery laws on the books in many, many states.
Yeah. I live in Alabama.
I'm in North Carolina. I could...
Oh, North Carolina.
When I was filing for the restraining order against Crazy Pants, I could have had Rob thrown in jail for 30 days. But custody stuff, I mean, that's really unfortunate. Like, I suppose I could be putting myself at risk right now. Some grandparent might listen to the episode and freak out and, like, try to take my kids, and they might get away with it, right?
In my relationship, there is actually no children for that exact reason. E has an adult daughter, and I told him straight up when we started dating, and I found out about her. Because, of course, it was one of those, like, well, I guess we started dating oddly, but we hooked up and then started dating, which is my norm anyway. It's an introvert, never leave the house thing. It's like foraging for berries. And then I end up in a relationship. That's terrible. But I was like, if your kid had been less than, she was 14 or 15 when he started dating. I'm like, if she hadn't been a mid-teenager, this would never have happened. I refuse to put someone else's, children don't have a choice about a relationship. For me, this is something I feel because I'm not a parent. I have no intentions of ever being a parent. That guy has no intentions of ever being a parent. But all three of us feel that the amount of risk that we, with our independent, freeling, kinky, burlesque lifestyles, a kid's not asking to be involved in that. They don't have a choice about it. So while I do know a lot of polyfamily wonderfully with children, because those kids get, like, I don't know, aunts and uncles, and they get people to babysit and hang out with. And, you know, it's the whole takes a village thing. Personally speaking, in my poly, children under a certain age are ideal, simply because
the one. Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, we didn't talk much about it with our younger ones, but I mean, they are 14, 16, and you know, one time Rob went out, and where'd dad go? Well, he went on a date.
Yeah.
And you know, the 16-year-old's like, that's cheating. I'm like, no, it's not, because I know what's going on.
And it's healthy for them to learn to, but like that guy and I decided very early in our lives and have stuck with the decision that we don't want children. And just because you want to screw somebody doesn't mean that you get to forget that you decided to be childless or child-free now. You don't get to get the benefits of dating a mom and then not understand that you have just decided, in essence, to audition to be a second parent. Which is a very ethical, it's ethical too. We also...
So that'll be interesting. I'd be interested if Rob listens to this episode, how he relates that. Because, I mean, I'm sure he can relate to that idea because he married me. I had a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
He is a stepdad. Yeah. He took that and he knew how to... He stepped up, for sure. Mm-hmm. Linda, do you have any, like, questions, input, experiences? Listen to us babble and...
I've have a couple friends that have good poly relationships. They're healthy. They have good communication skills. But I also have a couple acquaintances who do not. The thing is that the ones who I know have unhealthy relationships in that kind of relationship, I don't like them as people very much. So it's the ones that I have the most interactions with are the ones that I like as people, and maybe that says something about them or says something about me. I'm not sure. And my kind of philosophy for that is I myself am monogamous. As long as it's healthy and as long as you're communicating, it's like whatever flies your fancy, man. I don't have to know everything about it. I understand it, and I understand that's how you feel. I know that I probably wouldn't be able to handle a relationship like that. So, you know, that's why I identify as monogamous, because I know myself, I know my brain, and I wouldn't be able to handle it.
And I'm having the craziest struggle now, because when I entered my marriage, I decided, you know, I was fine with monogamy, and then, or monogamish, I should say, because my girlfriend was kind of always going to be there, but she lived on the other side of the country, so, and he was fine, so whatever. But the rest of it, I mean, I got a crush on somebody, and I was like, hey, can I pursue this? He said, no. I said, all right. Because I don't need that, and it was outside of the agreement of our marriage. But now, with this, him wanting to explore, and he's kind of Leroy Jenkins all over about it, I am starting to wonder if I actually just, I'm going to end up being the monogamous one. And have to figure out how to get around that he may be poly and having other relationships, because I'm not interested in, I'm fulfilled. And I don't want to add a bunch of fucking drama. I'm too old for this shit. Like, oh my God. Relationships are always drama. It is not worth the, NRE for a couple of weeks to screw somebody and just add all that drama to my life.
You don't have to date someone to fuck them. That's another thing I hate. Just have the sex stop complicating.
Well, that's why I said, well, let's try the swinging thing. Cause then maybe we can both be okay with that.
I don't, and once again, swinging, poly, monogamy, nothing's better than the other one. I will say that I started I was monogamous all the way up until, I mean, Amber knows a little bit about this. I am a widow. My fiance died. We were monogamous. We discussed swinging. We had done some swinging sort of things. We were each other's one and only. And when he died, I was celibate for 2 years. And when I came back, I decided I never wanted anybody to have to be alone with what I went through ever again. And that's how I started poly, because poly, then if I died, they would have each other, which is not the healthiest path to get there, but it's how I got there. And then I decided, once I was involved in it, once I was spreading the love around, my twin sister looked at me one day, I think it was holidays or something, I came back, seeing the disconnect with not only being in love after my fiance died, but being in love with a person. And she said, I think when he died, and your heart broke, it just meant you have to give away. And I was like, oh, but now I'm like a Time Lord because I have two hearts. But it's one of those, not everybody gets to the same path. That's why I don't think it's better or worse. I think that it is like everything else in your life. Your identity changes. Why wouldn't your relationship orientation or sexual orientation change?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sexual orientation, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Because you don't pick what you are, but you can discover more. Like, you may be monogamish, like she said, like being heteroflexible, it may just be the right person of your gender comes along and you've never, ever thought about it before, but that one person is the exception.
Like, I still, I still use the term, I still use the term bi, but it's habit. But it's, I think pan is more what people, you know, would use now. And it's, you know, because I've met trans people and been attracted to them. I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess there's more. But to me, bi was always just like, I just don't care about the plumbing. That's not what attracts me to people.
And bi for me is I apparently have been told, and as much community work as I do with LGBTQA+, you know, I think that's the full thing. As much work as I do with that, I still identify as bi because of the underrepresentation. But I've been told that I'm pan. And I'm like, okay, well, I consider bi to be, I'm attracted to femme and I'm attracted to the mass. So those don't always have to match what's downstairs. It's just those energies. And I have typically only ever been in long-term relationships with men, but I'm gay as well. Because I'm queer, so which means everybody who dates me is gay.
Exactly.
So I don't think you have to choose a side. I don't believe in extremism. I'm everything about shades of gray. But especially about relationship paradigms, you don't know. Because you've never met everybody. You could meet somebody tomorrow that both you and your husband fall absolutely in love with, and you never think about anybody else. It could happen. I mean, I can't speak for everybody in this chat's relationship, but I think the idea of closing yourself off and restricting yourself to one thing forever and forever is a bad idea, even if you never change your mind. If you just think about it and be like, nope, still there, still checking, just making sure. It's like if you're bi and you've never... you've dated a girl in a decade and you see some boobs and you're like, yep, still gay.
Right, right, exactly. It's like, just because, you know, when I came out to my mom and then my girlfriend and I broke up and I told her and I wanted somebody to talk to, and she's like, oh, so now what, you're asexual? No! And when I was on the committee for the DNC when it came to Charlotte, and it was the making sure everybody gets a representation committee, affirmative action committee, and they were like having the discussion about how many LGBTQ people to have, and it was like, well, we don't want to talk about that without the, you know, our rep here, and I just like raised my hand. I'm like, hello, like, because that's how, part of how I got appointed. But even though even though I had worked with like everyone in this room for a good, you know, 10 years at the time, it's not just something you talk about when you're working on a campaign, I guess. And I am married with children, so they just all assumed. But the state chair knew, because we're closer friends. And he appointed me in that capacity, and I had to, like, come out all over again. And it's like, well, what do you mean? I never knew. People are taking me aside. How? But then how can you be married with children? It's like, you don't just turn straight.
It's so weird. It's the entire concept of...
And it doesn't mean I'm whoring around on the side either to do something about it. Like, I don't need it all.
Better than anything else, damn it.
But one of my best trans friends once said, "Oh, you're greedy at me."
Oh, I hate that about buy.
Yeah,
it's just harder. You know what? Okay,
so that's a whole other episode. Buy things are hard.
you've got twice as many dates on a Friday. No, you don't. You got twice as many getting turned down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well.
and then you get turned down. Because you may have thought about the other person. I am with you on the bi thing. That could be an entire thing.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know if I can approach half of them.
Also, polyamory, dealing with that guy now. So my last friend had issues with my gender identity, which is, I mean, I don't want to talk about it too bad, because I'm sure he's a lovely being. Just so, this one, that guy, pansexual, so he could potentially date a guy. There could be a boyfriend, and I would be like, wait, because I've never had that before. And he is very open, very allied, lost his V card to a dude, so he knows for sure that he's straight. But it will be hilarious there to be a guy involved, and if that guy is a completely gay man, there could be issues there, because sometimes gay men have issues with by guys dating women. I don't know.
I think maybe
everywhere.
you could have a conversation and talk with Rob maybe and help him too with that idea, because I think you guys would relate, because he is like the straightest guy I've ever known. I think it's like the only guy I ever dated who didn't turn not completely straight. But and when we went to the swingers event, and he was just like, he was nervous about the idea of just like completely getting swicked by there even being another penis in the room. And
you watch porn, there's penises in there.
Yeah, but in the room. I don't know.
Oh, like a physical, like the manifestation, not a 2D penis.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be okay. Now he thinks maybe he won't be, like, so freaked, but he doesn't know. But anyway, we should get this wrapped up.
Oh, I will talk about this for hours, because this is my life and my obsession.
Well, anybody who wants to chime in, please email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. I will forward things to Silver if she welcomes it. And you can also give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at Geek Grills. This has been a great conversation. And don't forget, there will be in the show notes, I have a whole bunch of references. Silver, if you want to add some, go ahead. I've got podcasts and
books that I would have recommended.
Yeah. But all the study in the world doesn't mean anything if you don't communicate with your partner and or potential partners. Communicate.
Talk it to death.
See a shrink if you have. Yes. I'm going to do the scrum thing and I'll report back, because I think that might be brilliant. So what are you most anticipating right now, girls?
Let's see. This weekend, I will actually have time to organize my basement, which sounds really boring, but it's very exciting for me because there's still a bunch of boxes. But I'll get to open them and put all my stuff away. I am such a homebody. I can't even sometimes myself. But there is art time with my friends, which we have art parties. They've been called drink and draws. They've also been called art and absinthe. It's where we just go, a bunch of us go to somebody's house, and we'll model for each other, like still model either sitting or standing or whatever, or we'll just draw whatever we want to. It's a really nice, like, just kind of getting together and being arty and nerdy. It's a lot of fun.
Yay.
And then I have a friend's birthday / college graduation party to go to on Saturday night. So he is, I want to say he got his master's question mark, or he just got another degree. I'm not sure which, but he's graduating. So we're going to give him a surprise party.
So cool. How about you, Silver?
I don't actually have anything this weekend for the first time in, I think that me and E are going together machine. Yay! Which I'm incredibly excited about, and I just picked up resin crafting, so I have a bunch of that coming for me, and someone is going to be happy because they get to run around to the house. The dog can be in the house with resin stuff, but the cat can't, apparently, because he won't mess with it, but Yin will. That's yeah. My stepdog son. Oh, and polyamorous people with pets, too. God, that could be a fun episode. Yeah, that's right now. And I think that there is something...
Maybe we should start another podcast.
Right? Polycats. Polycats. There is something...
Oh! Something that he is very, we have a show title.
Some D&D thing is happening. I don't remember. And I don't D&D. I am retired.
Oh. I just had to stop because we're supposed to be recording on Monday nights, and that's when my D&D was. So what am I looking forward to? A couple we met at a munch, which is a kink meetup, and they are poly and interested in kink, and we have been in a kink for a while and are exploring poly, and we end up talking, and they've come out to a couple of Rob's gigs, and we've met and talked and just shared resources and kind of become friends, and they're actually like live in the same town, and they asked us to dinner, but I had to record tonight, so we might do that Sunday. I'm also hoping for some results from the doctor. If you're watching the video, I have this thing on my chest. I am a Borg for 2 weeks. I had a stress test today. It was inconclusive because my heart is just randomly spiking and doing weird shit, but we can't ever catch it. So I have to wear this thing for 2 weeks, which is annoying because I really like baths and I can't do that. And because they told me they're putting this on and I had a funeral in a few hours, so I actually had to go pay to get my hair washed because I got on the treadmill. They took me up to like 170 BPMs. I'm all sweaty, and I have to get ready for a funeral, and I can't even take a shower for 24 hours. Oh, my God. So anyway, what I'm really looking forward to is getting some damn results. I just want an answer instead of having to worry about if I'm going to fall down.
Oh, yeah. That is terrifying.
Yeah, I'm old. It's probably just like, it could just be side effects from my thyroid meds.
Oh, yeah, my mom had to deal with thyroid.
That's what I'm going to believe. So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Monday evenings. Next one will be next Monday at 5:30 p.m. PST, 8:30 p.m. EST, barring any disasters. Jen, get better. In addition to the subs and the bits we get on Twitch, yay, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest grill friends on the internet. You can become a Patreon at www.patreon.com/grills. And you know what? Email us if you see a sponsor that you think would really like our cast and benefit from hooking up with our listeners. So how else can people help us, Linda?
You can go and leave a review for us on your podcast catcher. Doing so is free, and it'll help our ratings. It'll help people find us. You can also join us on our Facebook and our Twitter. Follow us on there and help us spread the word. We'd really appreciate it. Hearts for you.
So where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which comes out on the first of each month. You can find me on Twitch under the name TrueNoob. That's TRUN00B. That's where I'm doing my plushy streams. I am now working on the War Turtle on my P3 I call it P3. It's the Pokemon Plushie Project. So find me there.
Okay. And how about you, Silver?
You can find me in pretty much everything under Silver Kitsune, and on Instagram under Le Silver Kitsune, just the French L-E and my name. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, every social media platform under the same name. So,
and you can find her links on our website at geekgrills.com.
And you can also find me being naked all across the Southeast and East.
Yay! She's really good at it. I've seen it.
That's my day job. Being a nerd, actually, being a nerdless person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nerdlesque is the best. It's my favorite theme.
You can see his face. He's very unimpressed.
Polycat is unimpressed. You can find.
Oh, we're surprised. We're upset. I don't know what happened.
One of our regular hosts, The Jen, can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and find everything at TheJenSays.com because she fucking owns it. I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on YouTube doing the Heresy and Hearsay show with Reverend Barney, and I will be recording that Thursday evening on my 9 of 12 Twitch channel. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Good game.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Yeah.